And I was excited about it, actually. I came here 45 minutes before the time. I don't know why. Generally, I'm not that early, so I was very excited. Today I'm presenting on mapping the gaps. How actively do local health departments assess and address gaps in access to public health and healthcare services? Now, I had a little difficulty deciding where to put my emphasis because the presentation is in the tools session, but I also wanted to talk about the, you know, assessing the gaps and gaps in the healthcare. So you'd see kind of a mixture of both flavors. Wanted to acknowledge my co-contributors, Mr. Riju Stephen, who happens to be in the room, and he is the technical lead on preparing the shape files, and also Karen Leap, who is my colleague at Nature. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. I sometimes forget to acknowledge my funding agencies, and since someone happens to be from the funding agency happens to be here, I'm glad that I remembered to put this slide. So the wanted to acknowledge the financial support from NIH for creating the GIS shape files that I'm presenting today, both 2008 and 2010. Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the CDC provided funds for the data that I'm presenting, profile study data. And also wanted to acknowledge Priscilla Barnes, Alicia Matheson, and Fatma Memo, who co-presented at another forum, and I stole two of our slides for this presentation. So I already mentioned that today I would be talking about the methodology of the GIS shape files, and also how GIS shape files for local health departments can be a very valuable tool to advance research in public health. And then I'll show you some of the examples of how I have used them. So starting with the methods of how we created the GIS shape files. We used to say there are approximately 3,000 local health departments in the country, but that's not true anymore. So in 2008, we counted 2,794 local health departments. And in 2010, obviously, we knew there are changes. So the first thing was to understand how local health departments have changed, which ones in which states, and if they have changed, what kind of changes in the jurisdiction have taken place. So we first did our information gathering through the internet, like, you know, going to the websites of all the local or state health departments that sometimes give you the entire map. Other times they just name the jurisdictions covered. Then the next phase was verification of those boundaries for all of the 2794 in 2008 and 2565 in 2010. So the next phase was to actually obtain the Tiger files. So this is the phase where we started making GIS shape files, obtaining the county shape files and the place shape files that are publicly available. We modified them according to what our local health departments indicated in terms of their jurisdictions. So is everyone familiar with why did we have to make a special GIS shape file for local health departments? Why is it not, you know, isn't it available through ESRI or? Okay, so, all right, so the reason that we, so GIS shape files for all local health departments are not available publicly for the reason that local health departments do not always follow the county boundaries or any particular single type of administrative boundaries. Some local health departments are single county. Other local health departments are multiple counties, and yet others are cities with FIPS codes or place codes, place FIPS codes. Now, that is the easy part. So what you do is basically you obtain those. County share files are available publicly, and place share files are available publicly. So that's the easy part. There are some local health departments that do not follow those boundaries, and so we call them complex shape files or complex shapes. So there are some local health departments that are city or a town without a FIPS code. That means the place is so small that it doesn't qualify to get its own place FIPS code. So what you do is you start with a smaller level FIPS codes. And we'll go into more detail perhaps if people had questions about it. And then there are other local health departments where there is a county health department, but a portion of the county belongs to another local health department that is served by another local health department. And then there are portions of multiple counties that make up a single local health department. So that is why we had to make new local health department shape files. And so the question is, why do we even need that? And so I'll address that question in a couple of slides down. So in terms of creating the GIS shape files, I thought that we would not go into a lot of details because unless we offer a workshop or something, it's not going to be easy for us to explain how. But my co-contributor, Mr. Riju Stephen, thought that if we just said using geoprocessing tools available through ArcGIS, we just took the GIS shape files for cities and towns, and then where we need to carve out, we carved out basically almost manually. And then by the same token, we had to define the attribute tables and all that goes with the GIS shapefile. People who are familiar with the GIS, they know that every shapefile has a table associated with it, and you got to define various attributes of that polygon. And so 2008 shapefiles were created the same way. So this is what the 2010 shapefile looks like for local health departments. So you would notice that there are few states where you see white space, particularly Texas. So it's how local health departments define what area they cover. And in Texas, some other entity might cover those public health services, but local health departments as such do not. And that's why you see white spaces. Now, the colors in this map don't mean much other than that we try to separate different states. And as I mentioned earlier, there are 2565 local health departments. There were 2565 local health departments by mid-2010 at the time when we started to work on the 2010 National Profile of Local Health Department Studies. And I'm going to basically tell you a little more about that study later on. This is what the 2008 GIS shapefile looked like. And that at that time, there were 2,794 local health departments. So that gives you an idea that local health departments constantly change. Why do we need GIS shapefiles for local health departments? For one, the maps are an easy way to display differences, and it's easy to spot patterns of variation, geographic variations in whatever outcome of interest or whatever is being displayed on the maps. Also, another additional feature is that researchers in public health have always wanted to put the infrastructure data, which is available through profile studies that Nature conducts, and the outcomes and our such as health status outcomes data together and see how local health departments are doing in terms of actual outcomes in their jurisdictions. It's been, so previous studies generally what they would do would be they would say, okay, we could match for the county, but we could not match for those complex. So sorry, our study is limited to those local health departments. So to enable new research hypothesis, exploration or study of new research hypothesis for all local health departments, now since we have FIPS codes associated with every single local health department, we can actually replicate those studies for all local health departments or form new hypotheses. So that to me is one of the major benefits having these shapefiles. And we are disseminating these shapefiles through our website, and we'll be disseminating through Esri's website. People, now they are both 2010 and 08 shapefiles are available, and if people need them immediately, can be contacted, Nature can be contacted, and we are actually providing those on request basis. But they would be available more broadly through Esri's website, where, you know, everybody can go and grab those shapefiles. As I said in the beginning, since I promised that I'll show you some of the public health services provided to show how maps are easy to show some of the geographic patterns, that's what I'm doing next. Data source for those maps that I'm showing is the 2010 National Profile of Local Health Department study. That is a census design study conducted of all the local health departments through a web-based survey, and it's a very comprehensive study, actually. Anything about finance, workforce, activities, policy, and many other topics that would want to know about local health departments, that's available through this study. And we do a pretty good job of following up and getting a good response rate. As you see, 82% response rate for this study. And there are many other waves starting 1989, then 92, 93, then 96, 2005, 2008, 2010, very rich source of data anyway. So one of the questions I've shown is from a module, which is a random sample of 625 local health departments. That slide I'm using to show what not to do with your GIS shapefile maps. Okay, so quickly, this map shows you the local health departments that are directly providing comprehensive primary care services. And green shows that LHD provides the service. Little light yellow or gold yellowish kind of color is do not provide. And then there are some non-respondents and area not covered by the, that is what the legend is. And the next one is about mental health services, same, whether local health departments directly provide mental health services in their jurisdiction, question asked in 2010 profile study. And now you could immediately see that the oral health care services is provided by more local health departments, and you can see which local health departments and which states have local health departments that are more likely to provide than others. Now the next map is the map that that's the tobacco care service or tobacco prevention service, actually. Now this is the map that I said that kind of bad example of use of a shapefile to show the provision of a service called doing some. So the exact question was, Is your local health department implementing any strategies to target medical health care needs of underserved population? And since this was asked of only a sample of local health departments, it's really difficult to show because most of them are this color where it says not in the sample, the purplish, light purplish color. And so it's hard to spot those patterns. But since part of my presentation was to show you the extent to which such gaps are assessed and addressed, I thought that this is relatively, although it doesn't give you geographic distribution, but a graph that is very simple might do a better job. So you can quickly see that, again, in the previous map, I only showed local health department that assess and address the needs of underserved population. Now this graph shows you assess the gaps in behavioral health and in the dental health and the medical health for medical dental needs in their jurisdiction. This is like, again, a sample, and there were 509 respondents to this question. And this bar on the top shows that none of the three services are, gap for none of these three is assessed by local health department, 35% local health department. So the next gap, next graph is about the percent of local health departments that implemented some strategy to target medical, dental, and mental health care needs of underserved populations. 34% local health departments do none of the three, and you could see that behavioral health care needs are addressed by 22%, assessed and addressed, 38% do dental health care needs, and 57% do mental health care needs. So next, I would show you a couple of other three examples of how you can use maps to display different things and assess gaps. So the first example is one of our programs at NACHO wanted to see where quarantine stations are in different states, and they were able to display these, and if you lay over a blank local health department shapefile, then you could actually see where the quarantine stations are with respect to each. The map became so busy that I decided to take the local health department shapefile, but I thought I should verbally tell you that when you overlay the local health department shapefile, you can tell where the quarantine stations are with respect to the local health department boundaries. Okay, another example of use is where we took the federally qualified healthcare, community healthcare centers, and we plotted them, which I didn't show here, plotted them on the map for these five states. And we also, in this one, I'm showing the number of those centers per 100,000 population, and different colors in the map show their concentration. So for example, the highest concentration is this dark green color, and so forth. So you can quickly spot where these community health centers are concentrated more as opposed to other local health departments. So the idea is that if there are places such as zero, like these very light purplish color, where there are very few or none of the community health centers available, then there is need for the local health departments to cover certain services. So that is the idea to show here. So this map shows local health departments that provide prenatal care, and also show the location of those community health centers. So if the idea is that in these spaces, light blue spaces, where local health department does not provide a prenatal care service, and then the community health center is not also, you know, present in that locality, then that gives you some idea of maybe there are service gaps. So that's it for me. Some of the conclusions that the GSCHIP files actually open up new avenues for research, although I did not show you like research hypothesis tested here, but as I said, using the FIPS codes, many data about outcomes can be integrated at FIPS code level, using FIPS code at local health department level, and then using the profile study infrastructure capacity or infrastructural features of local health departments on one hand, and using outcomes of the community in the other hand, you could actually test many new hypotheses that are not otherwise possible. And I was talking to a colleague of mine who is working on accreditation, and he said, well, this may also assist in demonstration of compliance with the accreditation standards, because and by this means that one of the things that local health departments are supposed to do is assess the gaps, and this might be a tool that would help local health departments do that. And knowing the boundaries clearly and having certain things plotted can serve a critical need of effective emergency preparedness by the local health departments. And that's it for me. Questions? Yes?
I have a comment.
Sure. Definitely. And so as a tool, this can, you know, it has many, many uses. It all depends on your creativity, where you want to take it. Definitely. Good, good comment. Other questions, or we'll wait till the end?
Thank you.